Welcome back to the Hollywood Casino Press Box featuring Frank Cusimano and Martin Kilcoin on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Okay, welcome back. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. Frank Cusimano with Martin Kilcoin and Andy Van Slyke, the Gold Glover and the All-Star, with us right now. You know, I brought this up the other day. What if the Cardinals didn't make a move and they had Carson Kelly's production behind the plate, Luke Voit's production at first base, Tommy Pham's production in center field? That's probably a team that's not just two games over 500, maybe in first place and maybe six or seven.
Well, you wouldn't have Goldschmidt if they kept him.
Yeah, but you could argue Luke Voit's numbers are better.
Well, yeah, but
I don't know if long term that's going to work out.
Well, who knows? I mean, Goldschmidt's resume is what it is. I still think it's the right move. I still think he's going to have very productive years in St. Louis. I don't think anybody's ever going to regret signing him. And here's the thing. If he doesn't work out, let's just say for the sake of discussion that Goldschmidt does struggle as a Cardinal, okay? It's still the right move.
It was.
It made sense.
It just is.
It made sense.
It absolutely is the right move.
And none of us cried when they traded Luke Weaver because and Carson
Kelly. No, and here's the thing. You can't always be right. I mean, you know, getting a guy like Goldschmidt with his resume was a very smart and very economical. To me, the economics makes sense. Now, some of the other ones, there's an argument there. You know, having Carpenter sign for an extension doesn't make sense to me. But I'm not down in that office sitting at making those decisions. But from the outside looking in, it doesn't look right to me.
And signing a guy like Goldschmidt, once you get him here, you got to make sure he's staying here. I agree with you. It made perfect sense.
Why would you trade for him and let him go?
Yeah.
Unless you have some stud in the minor leagues that you figure you got coming up.
Do you buy into the fact a guy like Goldschmidt, now over the weekend it was like 2-for-11, but he got robbed of a home run. He's hitting a ton of foul balls down the left field line that are just missing. Those don't count in the stat sheet, but if you're watching, does that tell you that he's pretty close?
Yes and no. Here's the thing about Goldschmidt. He's been a very, very productive hitter, not only pulling the ball, but hitting the ball with authority the other way. That's the one thing I think that's missing that I've seen in the past from him.
He's really pulling the ball too much.
Well, I don't see damage to right center and right field like he has in the past. And I'm sure it's something he knows. I'm sure it's something he's trying to address. But he was a guy that used the whole field, and because of his past, he knows that for him to be good, that's going to have to happen.
A couple of questions from our texters. Ask Andy if he was still playing today, how he would handle the shift if an opposing team did that to him, what they're doing to Carpenter.
Well, here's the interesting thing was that when I first went from St. Louis to Pittsburgh, teams would actually put the shortstop behind second base. And the second baseman would play straight up. And so when I first got over to Pittsburgh, I was basically just a pull hitter. But I had a goal of hitting 300 in the big leagues. I wanted to hit at some point 300 in the big leagues. So I had to change my swing. And a couple of years later, the shortstop actually had to move back to his normal position. And so I started getting more hits up the middle. But I also could hit the ball to the shortstop side, the ball in the hole if I had to, especially with two strikes. I completely changed my approach with two strikes to try to just put the ball and play hard somewhere. If they pitch me away, hit it away. So that's I would hope that if I had four guys on one side of the field and I'm looking up and I said, okay, I was always taught at the big league level, you always take what the other team is giving you.
Yeah, that's
good. It's an old adage. George Kissel would say, look it. If the pitcher is giving you something, you take it. If the defense is giving you something, you take it. If the third baseman's playing back in the hole at shortstop, why wouldn't you put a bunt down when you can be successful 80% of the time?
And it's funny you mentioned two strikes because I do this weekly podcast with Tony La Russa and asked him about Goldschmidt. He said, in Arizona, he said, what I would do, he said, I'm not there. I'd look at all the video of what he's doing with two strikes. He said, in Arizona, he was prolific. Going to right field with two strikes.
Yes, he was.
And that's a mental approach. That's something you can control.
It is something in your mind that you have to decide before the baseball gets there. Because your mind is going to take over your body. Your body's not going to overtake your mind. You have to have the program in your head before you swing the bat. Just like you have in your pitcher has to have his the program pitch before he throws it. You just can't go fastball and release fastball. You have to think about location, speed, in or out. I mean, it's just that's just the way you have to approach it.
Okay, you hit 343 with four homers against Greg Maddux. What when you were walking up to the plate? What was your like? What was in your mind?
I wanted to take his changeup away, and that was his most effective pitch. I would actually sometimes, in four at bats, just sit on his changeup until I got one that I could hit. And because Greg Maddux took so much pride in his changeup, I felt like I beat him at his best pitch. You always try to take away, to me, the best way to beat a pitcher is to take away his best pitch. If he throws a secondary pitch to you and he gets you out, you know, you tip your cap. But if you can take away the pitcher's best pitch, you've beaten him at his best game.
And do you think he knew when you stepped in, well, this guy owns me? They all know, don't they?
Sure they do. Sure they do. But then again, you know, the next time up, he would start throwing sliders and fastballs, and I'd have to readjust to him. The only problem was I'd get off the changeup, and I was thinking I was swinging that fastball, right. And sure enough, it was a changeup, and I swing right through it. That's the old mental, you know. Here's the thing. Young players, unless they're really, really exceptional, I think for the first couple years in the big leagues, they hit with their body first and their mind second. And it's over time they start to hit with their mind first and their body second, if that makes any sense. There's a maturation mentally that should take place.
What about Yadier Molina moving forward with this contract? Is it, Brian, is it two more or is it three more years?
Two more. He's through. I think he and Carpenter are both now through 2021, right?
Yeah. No, Yadi has one more year.
He's through 2020.
Next
year's 2020. That's yes. Right. He's got one more.
Yeah, so he's hitting .261 with four home runs and an on-base percentage of .286.
And you know, you asked me earlier when you know you don't have it anymore as a catcher. I've had a couple catchers tell me this was one day when you wake up and you put that uniform on, and you know you got no chance, even more than an everyday player, even a pitcher, because of just the wear and tear. And Molina's going to be a Hall of Famer. He deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. He's one of the best catcher of his generation. But there's a day, and maybe it's happened, maybe it hasn't, that he cannot play at this level anymore. And beyond 2020, boy, good luck if you're going to sign him.
Yeah, well, that's going to be a really tough call. And maybe if this Carpenter thing doesn't work out, I know it's apples and oranges, two different players, but, boy, you can't do two of these.
Well, here's the thing. I think he's still got he might have enough in the tank if you go to him and say, listen, Yadi, thank you for your service. We know you're a prideful guy. What do you think about being a back? How would you like to catch 40 games for us for the next year or two? And just put it on the flat out put it on the table. Do not give him any options except 30, 40 games as a backup catcher.
Yeah, it's funny because Wainwright came back and people, and I know they get tired of some of the, Adam Wainwright's a great personality. Frank and I love guys like that talk a lot. And some people interpret that as, oh, he thinks he's a big star. I think if you look at what he's doing this year, if you accept the fact he's not making much money, he's like a fourth or fifth starter.
Sure he is.
Can't you live with that? I think the problem is we look at him and, well, he's not an ace anymore. Well, he's not.
Well, he knows he's not what he was. But he also, I think, based on what's happened to him this year, also thinks, maybe I got another year or two left in me. Because he's that type of pitcher. He is a pitcher that has to pitch on the corners, and his stuff has to be the kind of stuff that the hitters get themselves out with. He's not a guy who can throw the ball in the strike zone consistently and get big league hitters out.
But if you look at him and say, or take his name off there, the old blind resume during the college basketball, and say, here's what he makes, $1.5 million plus incentives, here's what he's been doing.
Yeah.
You say, that's all right. For a fourth, I mean,
it's a perfect contract. It's a $2 million base, and with incentives, if he continues, he's going to make $10 million bucks, and he deserves to make $10 million bucks if his ERA is under 4 and he wins 12 games.
I take four of them.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
I mean, give me four guys who can win 12 games.
Yeah, well, I mean,
12 games, I'll take four of them right now.
I mean, I think we're talking about, it's a lot of things, but what you said earlier, hey, it's St. Louis, we kind of love our own. The franchise does it, the fans do it, the media does it, and we're talking about you could have an uncomfortable ending.
I think here's the thing about at least the fan base, I think, generally, not obviously not everybody thinks this, but I think generally it's okay to pay players what they've done in the past. As a GM, I would hope I would never do that.
Yeah, that's well put.
But that's what I'm saying. With Carpenter, it's a lot of money. With Molina, it's a lot of money through next year. Wainwright, at the end of the road, potentially, is not a lot of money. So it's like, hey, you want to hang around? It's what you were saying about Yachty. Would you want to be kind of a backup guy, potentially? Adam basically said, yeah, I'll be a guy. I just want to be in the rotation, and I'm not expecting
two different personalities.
Correct.
Two different egos. Two different perspectives on worldview. So I can understand Wainwright feeling like he needs to earn his future.
As opposed to they owe me.
Instead of owe me. There's a lot of players that they owe me because of what I've done in the past.
And let's face it, Wainwright has made silly money for not much production in the preceding two or 3 years.
Sure.
I mean, ridiculous money. $19
million. Well, I mean, but that's the risk you take when you sign. So
I'm just saying it's different where people are like, oh, they always hang on their own. They just throw money at these guys. I honestly think the Wainwright thing is a little different.
It's totally different.
Because he's a fourth or fifth starter. You can live with that. You know, you'd rather have him pitching than Michael Wacha, who's 10 years younger.
Well, Michael Wacha needs to be traded. I think he needs a new environment.
Speaking of that, the narrative over the last 3 weeks, especially for the Derek Gould types, well, they have to acquire a starting pitcher. And believe me, if Madison Bumgarner shows up here, that's a good thing. But I have a feeling, and I know we mentioned at the outset it's one start by Michaelis. I really like this staff moving forward. Wainwright is in a good place. Dakota's been your best pitcher. Jack Flaherty's coming off his best outing. You have Ponce de Leon, who's great every time.
I love his stuff, by the way.
Yeah. So, you know, if you want to get Madison Bumgarner, you'd have to give up Tyler O'Neill, a torrid Tyler O'Neill down the stretch, and you don't know, he have no idea if Ozuna's going to come back and be productive.
You don't.
So I don't know if it's the greatest deal of all time.
Let me ask you guys a question. You watch every night. Who's got the best breaking ball on the staff?
It used to be Waka a long time ago, but not anymore. Dakota Hudson? I don't know.
Maybe Ponce?
Ponce de Leon. He's got the best breaking ball on this pitching staff.
And he's the guy, every time he succeeds, they send him down. Even Friday, he got the call that he was going to start, and he said, I thought they were sending me down. I mean, imagine that guy.
Right.
Last year was the no-hitter, what, 70?
If he can consistently get his stuff play, here's the thing. His stuff plays in the strike zone. In the strike zone. And if he can get his stuff in the strike zone, even stuff that, you know, you don't want to throw it down the middle and meet, but his stuff is good enough to play in the strike zone. It's that good. His breaking ball is super nasty.
And it's got to mean something, doesn't it? That this guy, he got drilled in the head, ends up in the hospital.
Yes.
To have the guts to be, I mean, that's got to tell you a little bit about who he is, his makeup, doesn't it?
Well, there's been a lot of guys who've been hitting the face, been hitting the head, that come back. It's probably like getting struck by lightning once. You're going to get struck by twice, you know, that type of attitude.
But does it mean anything about who his character is? Am I reading too much into that?
I think you're reading too much into it. I mean, the fact that he pitches at the big league level should tell you enough about what kind of guy he is to begin with.
All right, we got a break. Hollywood Casino, title sponsor. They're a casino in Maryland Heights near St. Louis. It's owned by the Gaming and Leisure Properties. They own quite a few, and they do it in a first-class way. The all-you-can-eat buffet with the shrimp is outstanding. The new hockey facility out there is the best in the country. Have a beautiful steak at Final Cut Steakhouse. Hollywood Casino, our title sponsor. More with Andy Van Slyke and Martin right after this.